This is session number 29 for Bob and Carolyn, recorded on May 4th, 2009 at 7:16 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good morning. 3, 2, 1,
And actually, I'm going to start off the session tonight, Ion, with bedwetting.
Very good, very good, very good.
So,
do you want your questions?
Yes, please give me the sentence that has to do with bedwetting, why it occurs.
Okay, now, are you talking about the specific degree of incontinence, or if you're talking about with little fellows when they're wet the bed?
Little fellows when they wet the bed, we'll start
okay.
There.
First off, here's what happens. As they mature and they grow, they have the ability to consume more fluids.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And those that fluid consumption, specifically what you call pop,
mm-hmm.
that's something that they grow into the place of liking.
Mm-hmm.
Sugary, fizzy pop.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. Pellegrino, that's a little too complex, but just when they're consuming more,
yeah.
What happens is they have the ability in their digestional tract to consume more fluids.
Mm-hmm.
And as they consume more fluids, sometimes it gets ahead of the development of their bladders.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they consume more fluid than their bladder is able to hold as it's growing. And so therefore it presents itself in the degree or a disconnection of relaxing in that flows. Meaning, as that urethra can't be distended. Now, men folks have that when they wake up with what is called, well, we don't know a nice way to say it, but it's like a piss hard.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, they have a distended erection in the morning time, which allows the prostate, as it is enlarged, to cut off that flow of urine.
Mm.
So that's why they're typically right amorous first thing in the morning. Well, see, little fellas hadn't quite developed that part yet, and they can consume as they grow and mature, they can consume more fluids than they can hold in their bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happens, it's almost like a tipping over effect. So the only solution at that point is it to release
mm-hmm.
if they're perfect relaxed in their bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, how you handle that, you can do that from a standpoint, or are you asking for a correction, or your...
Yes, a correction would be wonderful, please.
Very good. Okay, if they're not so fond of this, but the way to handle it is if they can consume a small quantity of what you call a grape juice,
mm-hmm.
The tannins in the grape juice help that whole process of enlarging or dilating
mm-hmm.
the bladder
mm-hmm.
helps it to grow. And then another fun choice that also is very, very effective is an hour before bedtime. If they could consume 4 ounces of what you call a cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't really prefer the ones that's so sugary,
mm-hmm.
but they make a cranberry juice that's kind of like normal, but none of them taste especially good. And what happens is if they can consume that cranberry juice, it makes for a good filtration process. And then they're able to empty their bladder pretty completely before bedtime.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But the short version, what that's all about is that they're able to consume more fluids than their bladder has grown to meet that amount or quantity.
Very good. Very good. And we talked about the little fellers. How about big fellers?
Well, big fellers incontinence is not such a big deal, but typically it has to do with an enlarged prostate
mm-hmm.
in which they kind of lose control after it becomes a point of getting up in the night to go urinate, go urinate, go urinate, or stopping and starting in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a problem because they feel that it's pressure. That happens from that in the, well, basically how you reach it is through the colon or the rectum. It's You're so full of sleep that it, the diuretic part of, a, of many of the alcohol dries you out, but sometimes can set on a little onset of a degree of incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
But typically it's not like full out, you know, that you're all over the place more. It's like a little leaking a little bit.
Okay, yes, okay, good. And actually, it's right beside it here, bladder infections. Let's talk about them in terms of women, because that tends to be...
Okay, they're typically not bladder infections. Typically what they are is urinary UTIs, urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
Through the labia, it comes in that format.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh my God, I'd hate to say the magnesium word, and I hate worse to say the yeast word, and I hate worse to say all those things that are catchwords, but... Actually, what that is all about is when the fallopian tubes, which are very close to all that workings of the ovaries and how they come down, when there's an imbalance of it's the ovarian progesterone. Is that the right word, progesterone?
Yes, progesterone is the hormone that's released by the ovarian eggs that are...
Precisely.
Yeah.
Once that comes into a place, sometimes those have an innate capacity to have a degree of enlargement.
Yes, yeah.
If they have had a partial, I keep wanting to say DNC, but it's not a DNC, it's a hysterectomy.
Uh-huh.
Where they have removed the uterus, but they've left the ovaries intact. Because you really, really want to do that because of the production of estrogen, see, because, you know, it keeps the women folks kind of in balance.
Yeah.
So they'll still go through the change, but the flashing that goes along with that whole process and the loss of male life in their household sometimes is more balanced if they have their ovaries as long as they can.
The loss of what?
Life.
Yes.
Women in the change murder their husbands.
Yes.
Because they need to die.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
And sometimes those whole processes, as they become distended or enlarged, okay, that seems to have a degree of blocking.
What now, become distended and enlarged, I'm sorry?
The fallopian tubes and or the ovaries if they're cycling.
Oh.
Even if they're that stage of life when they're not, you know, you don't have cycles anymore, which is some people stop early and some people stop way late. But regardless, depending on the processes that change, sometimes those all that inside part becomes a bit distended. And if it does... With an absence or an increase of progesterone, then what happens is it puts pressure on the bladder. Now, we're not talking about ladies when they get to lapping so hard that they pee their pants. That's different. That's just the whole joyful bliss of losing control, you see. But that's not all we're talking about. We're talking about a light degree of incontinence. Meaning that it's not like spotting, it's like they just wet a little bit. Kind of thing, of course, losing control. It's not like just completely, I peed my pants and I didn't know it, you see. But sometimes as those become distended, it puts pressure on the bladder. Now, another thing that has a great deal of effect on this same thing is a increased level of cortisol.
How's
when
that?
They have when you look at women folks that are the pear shape.
Yes.
What you call pear shape, and they have there's no sweet way to say this, but when they have the belly. Not so much the thigh, or we're not talking about cellulite and that kind of stuff. You know, we're talking about the big belly.
Yeah.
The cortisol, where it builds that in that level, that also has a tendency to add more pressure on the ball because of the way the bladder is
Yes, exactly. Okay.
And that pressure then can also sort of, it's almost like it turns upside down, or it turns to a point where it releases,
mm-hmm.
and you can't help it.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that control.
Okay.
Now, those in a virginal state don't ever have that place, because everything is all tightened together and not so enjoyed. Maybe is that the right way to say it? Gosh, I don't know a nice way to say that, so we'll just sort of say it like that. But those in that place, you see, come into the place of not necessarily having that transitional position.
Right.
But
right.
as time goes on, what happens is the bladder does not shrink, but there's only a finite amount of space.
Uh-huh.
So as you fill that with other things, and also when the uterine wall starts to thin, that's what also can make that extra amount of pressure. So that, well, sometimes if it's a light, simple thing, they just use like a protective pad or a, you know, like a garment type thing, in case they get caught in that place. But it's not like they have to cast themselves or anything like that.
So you're saying it's mostly mechanical. The focus that I'm looking for in these reviews is if there's a non-physical or an emotional or some sort of state that people get into to allow this to happen.
Well, there's not much of a disconnect.
Yes.
The only disconnection that comes from that whole process is if they have issue with their stage and change of life. But see, and you can do that, but there are people that are in their 60s that still have a cycle. You know, but then there are folks in their late 40s that stop altogether and start that whole change. So to draw that parallel, you'd have to come to the place of when that whole stage of life changes, you see. So it's kind of difficult to go from that aspect, because it just is what it is. But that whole process of the biological function is that not aligning with the changes in your life. And here's where it shows up much, much, much more often than that, especially women folks in that verge of change. They typically have this huge issue with constipation.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense, because they eat the roughage, they do the stuff, they do the Stairmaster, they do all the stuff that they're supposed to do, but just something about the way that all hooks together, they'll go 3 days and not go, and, you know, they're pretty miserable. That also can have a play in that whole distension process. Because it seems to be happen in the small intestine rather than the large. So it's not like that you can do something to make you go, you see. And sometimes, well, they get into the Miralax, and oh my God, they get into all this stuff, and that's just not the answer, because it shuts off everything else.
But, well, that's where they need their magnesium.
Well, fair enough. And sometimes if they can do, sometimes the stool softener helps get things to flow. It doesn't like put all the extra water in the bowel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, anything that doesn't do that, is very appropriate. But what they feel like the disconnection is, it's kind of like a 50-year-old house. Sometimes you have issues with the plumbing. Especially if you're using it. And you don't have to, you see, you don't have to. But what they use as the excuse for the disconnection is their body is changing, and in that changing, then sometimes the water closet gets stopped up. Sometimes the sewage lines leak a little. Sometimes it doesn't have a proper flow. And that's all about those hormones that are constantly readjusting. they're very cold in their houses because mm-hmm. there is no place of cool once they come into that flushed state of flashing.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. So there's that's the disconnection there. That's a very nice analogy. And I realize with the incontinence with the little guys, I don't know if we got the sentence of a possible disconnection there, or is that mainly a mechanical situation?
Well, there can be a disconnection, but it's not so much the obvious. Mm-hmm. For example, little girls really don't have much of that problem.
But they get bladder infections.
Right, but they'll have a bigger problem of wetting their pants in the daytime. Mm-hmm. They don't quite have the same degree, as they seem to grow and mature faster.
Mm-hmm.
So the nighttime is not so much an issue, really,
mm-hmm.
as compared to little boys.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be, gotta go, the potty's not close enough, I can't wait, I gotta go, it's gone.
Mm.
You know, they only have a certain degree of control.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens more in the daytime. But sometimes that disconnect could be, you know, you're too old for this, we've talked about this, you gotta do this, and then it becomes a way to get attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meaning, as they know, they learn, is they're thirsty. See, they're growing, so they're thirsty. So they drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're getting proper attention, or if this becomes happens and is the case, and it's no big deal,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's explained that it's just a biological thing that goes along, and maybe we can do a rubber sheet, or maybe we can do an extra garment to give you a little hands-on help with this process as you're maturing, and there's no big deal, then what happens is it's a short 2-3 month process,
mm-hmm.
and then it's over. But you make a big disconnect from the parent
mm-hmm.
to the child,
mm-hmm.
and then it can go on up until they're 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it depends on that level of degree of disconnect from the typically father-son relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not so much mama-son.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically father-son.
Okay.
And if it is an issue with little girls, then it's mama-daughter
mm-hmm.
disconnect.
Okay.
It's very strangely weird how that seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a perfect science, meaning what if there's only one parent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the other one? Well, then that can then show up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the father's absent, that can cause the bedwetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that connection or disconnection from the whole family unit thing, which is a very wonderful thing. Now, it's not the end-all end-alls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take 100 examples and you get 100 situations.
Mm-hmm.
It can be not mama or daddy, it can be grandma.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Because when you flip to the next generation, then it's not grandfather, grandchild, it's grandmother, grandson.
Ah.
It flips.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Which is very interesting. So, you know, you have 100 units, you're going to have 100 scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But those disconnects are not about anything other than the physical process of your bladder growing,
mm-hmm.
catching up to your new wanting of consumption of fluids,
mm-hmm.
and if that happens and it doesn't get worked out, then it becomes a disconnection for attention.
Yeah, excellent.
And sometimes fear. Sometimes it'll be an onset. Let's say there's marital trouble,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they don't divorce or split or whatever, we don't even know, but that's
mm-hmm.
the stuff that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can be a fear-driven
mm-hmm.
way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not a disconnection, it's a connection.
Mm. Okay.
That's why we use it. That's why there wasn't a sentence for disconnection, because sometimes it's actually a connection.
Yeah. Very good.
Until it catches itself up.
Right. Now, I did ask about bladder infections, but then we did go into female incontinence. Is there something you can give me describing bladder infections in? And it's more little girls and young women that get bladder infections?
Well, not all of them.
Oh, I know, I know.
But how that normally shows up, especially in little girls, not little, little girls, they don't get bladder infections.
Right, no.
The larger, once they're starting to come into this new change, they've all been set up that they're going to begin in their cycle. Very interesting. Used to, both girls didn't cycle until they were 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're cycling at 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's all been moved forward, that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the olden days, folks might get married when they were 12, but they didn't have children for many, many years as they grew and came into their womanhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to ovulate and or, you know, bear children.
Mm-hmm.
So the process then from these UTIs come from sometimes from this high drama of your body is in the process of going through changes.
Mm-hmm.
And any time there's an increase when breasts start developing, when things start developing, what happens is it's that increase. It basically runs on a sweeter fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Or higher octane,
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes can very easily build up extra ketones in the urine,
mm-hmm.
and that ketone increase is just sweetening or the extra proteins in the urine.
Yeah.
So basically, you're sweeter, and it feeds
yeah.
those urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very rare to have a bladder infection.
Yes, true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get it, but that ain't coming from the UTI.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from something else. That's from the folks who have to catch themselves or have foreign
yeah.
inside parts.
Good point, yeah.
Now, sometimes when women folks come into their sexualness,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
if they have a mate who actually understands and figures out the what you call the G-spot,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that gushing of fluid
mm-hmm.
in that whole process, now boy, we just lost Bob altogether, but once you come into that place, I mean, you could lose up to a half a liter of fluid.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get it just right.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come into that place, once that release happens, if you get very normal, if that becomes normal, sometimes you can have a larger capacity of a urinary tract infection, which could come into the stem of the bladder. But it actually shows up more times than not as a kidney infection,
mm-hmm.
which is much more normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it can be in the form of a bladder infection. If that channel of expression of orgasm is open to such a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If men folks would have taken the time to learn that, they'd keep their brides forever.
So what is the fluid that's gushing? Is that vaginal secretions?
No, it's actually a form of urine.
Yeah.
Wow. It releases it completely, and that G-spot, it comes to such a place where it actually opens.
Mm-hmm.
It opens that flow. Just as you teach your children, well, maybe not, but you should, after they have orgasm, they should urinate to clear
yeah.
that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically, if you do it just right, you're going to do that anyway, but it's
mm-hmm.
good to be in the process of doing that just to clear
mm-hmm.
so nothing gets like stuck or in that urethra from that process.
Mm-hmm.
It flips the system back over.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same opposite thing of sometimes opening that up to a larger degree of bacteria, which can flow all the way back to the bladder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nasty if you get that far.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And we're up to boils. I don't know
okay.
if you want to be bothered with boils.
No, we don't mind. Now, are you speaking?
necrosis, yeah.
Necrosis of breaking down of the skin. Which can be like a bed sore.
It boils, I guess I'm more thinking of a toxic boil, something. And it could be...
No, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense, darling.
Mm.
Do you have a non-toxic boil?
Yeah, I should say a toxic a person who's toxic, and some of that toxicity comes out as a boil.
You mean septic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's the reason we asked, because there's different kinds, because the process of it becomes the breakdown of the dermis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're bedridden and you don't lay on the, what is it, the lamb's wool?
Mm-hmm.
Or be turned, if you like, in a induced coma or something like that, or in a coma. Then you have to be turned. This the basic skin, because of the lack of circulation, breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bed sore, and those are as nasty as they get. But that's also the exact same process if you come into a place where you have what's called a rhizome, meaning a great big blister, sometimes the size of a silver dollar, that's blood fed, and that's a boil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that you have to use. You either have to lance it to open it up, or you have to use a 200th generation antibiotic, because that's what you're to. Used to be third generation, but...
Yeah, right, right. What about, so, I'm big on poulticing. I would poultice that with some clay.
Well, you certainly could, but I'll tell you what's just as effective is a really warm compress. And if you really want to draw it, there's a drawing solution. Not Eucerin. There's a pharmaceutical that the women folks used to go to England and get it for their retinol. You can use that as a process too, that will exacerbate it to the point where it will basically come to a head. But then you have different kinds of boils. You have what you call poisoning, and we call it poisoning because it's just when those fluids, let's say you get a bump and then it kind of goes septic.
Yeah.
Then you got to draw that. It's more like pus. But you can also have a blood boil. Let's say you take a lick with a baseball, and then you have the big bruise, and the blood bubbles up. And then if that gets, you have all the staph on the outside of your system, if it breaks that down, then it will go into a boil. Also, what they call diabetic ulcers. Nasty. Oh, my God. You never. You have never. And they always get them right on the shin. The front of the legs, and the lack of circulation.
Yeah.
It's like on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about nasty.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing to work with that is to debride it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally scrape it
and
wrap it.
Right.
So,
is there a disconnect with boils?
You're going to like this one.
Uh-huh.
I'm not happy in my present position.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Every single time, without fail or exception,
yeah.
When you find someone who's not happy in their present position,
mm-hmm.
that's when you have the systemic value of a boil.
Very good.
Very simple, and that covers your diabetes. That covers your the bedridden, you know, thingies. That covers the licks, you know, like with a ball, like what you call a blood blister. See, that covers all of those.
Yeah.
Very simply.
Okay.
Hey, Carol, is this total biology, but a deeper, fuller,
better?
Yeah, it's total biology without sort of the negative implications of It's almost like when you read total biology, it's teaching you how to get the disease because I've got this conflict, I'm going to get this disease.
Are you going to mention that in your book, or you don't want to single them out? Or?
We'll see.
All right, it's getting near chord 8, which is chord to 2 your time, JW. And we might go over an hour or so. Don't you want to get to bed by 3:30?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to ask JW.
Okay. I forgot. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we can go ahead and move on. But
we're good. We're actually very, very... We wanted to get good and settled in the flow before we started this process because it's become a very easy transition. We wanted to be on point. And you notice normally... Once we're flowing a bit, as you can see how beautifully this is unfolding, Carolyn, once we get in that flow, it seems to be much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a crash, and there's not as much disconnect for JW, typically.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel ready to have a reading now?
Sure.
Okay.
Lord, suffering Jesus, what do you mean, honey? We're just getting greased up.
Getting greased up. So
you want to do a little bit more to finish where you are, and then we can transcend into your reading.
We're right at the stopping point of these bloody, pussy, disgusting boils, and it was very delicious.
What about blisters?
Okay, go ahead.
Are they not boils?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to...
Now, if you take it to the nth degree, what it is, that becomes a protective agency that makes a layer of pus between the dermis and the problem.
Yeah.
But isn't that what a boil is?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Now, we're not talking about the necrosis. Now, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Because that's the after the boil.
Right.
Is the breakdown. Well, that fluid, that protection, sometimes can then... open up into a deeper thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to include blisters as that protection or a hedge in that process. So why do you get bed sores? Because it normally will blister because of the lack of circulation, because you're laying on it all the time. Well, that becomes a protection that then the end result turns into a bed sore. Which actually is not a boil, but it's so close to it, you can't really tell the difference.
Right. Bob, you have to mute.
Okay.
He's out.
He's down the kitchen. It's so funny having these headphones on. You know, we can track each other through the house.
Yeah, forgot. Okay. And you know, it's so much fun. In this process, it's so natural. For JW, he literally holds the telephone the whole time.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It just seems so naturally normal. I think his arm is just kind of normal to it. And he always does it with the same hand. He doesn't even necessarily change up. And he can do it for just days. And it doesn't seem to be ever an issue.
Well, he told us that he kind of likes to hold the telephone to sort of keep him in reality somewhat.
Maybe. But it's such a simple, easy flow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten more fluid. It's gotten more clear. It's gotten more together.
Uh-huh.
As I think is our experience. Well, listening to you talk to JW, it seems to be more cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite so jumbled.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've learned to focus my question and then, you know, just focus what I want to know as well, where I want to go with it, so that...
And it flows that way.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, we will be stopping this tape and then starting a new one. Will we just get JW to come back for a minute?
That will be complete.
Okay. I have been very happy with this. Thank you very much.
Very wonderful. Very wonderful. Marvelous. Okay, Maud Amy.
Yeah,
Maud Amy.
Maud Amy. Who's Maud Amy?
I don't know. That's what I'm calling you now.
Oh, gosh. I've got so many nicknames. I feel like a quadriphrenic.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let me go ahead and stop this tape.
I can do it, Carol.
Bob's going to do it. So, Bob, you going to give your headset to Steve, or...
Take notes, Carol?
Hmm?
You going to take notes?
I don't know.
Okay, if you're not
going to take... Yes, please.
Yes?
Okay, so we will stop this one. Mm-hmm.